You are listening to TLRStation.com.
Canadian Content is all about sharing unique stories of evolution and success from publicly traded companies across Canada. Bernadette Geronazzo is dedicated to providing listeners with insights on how successful Canadian corporations achieve their vision. She has more than 15 years of experience working with public and private corporate leaders to create public relations plans and strategic implementation fulfilling specific goals and objectives. Canadian Content Radio inspires you with insights from some of our country's unique leaders. And now, here is your host, Bernadette Geronazzo.
Welcome to Canadian Content. I'm your host, Bernadette Geronazzo. Today, I'll be speaking with two Alberta-based corporations. During the first half of the show, Mr. Barry Moore, Vice President of Product Development, will be our guest, giving insight on how innovation drives product development at Blackline Safety. In the second half of our show, Mr. Robert Palmer explains how WestJet's great corporate culture comes from taking care of guests as well as taking care of WestJetters. Stay with us. Following this short commercial break, we will be talking to Barry Moore, Vice President of Product Development from Blackline Safety. Strategic communications strengthen internal as well as external relationships between organizations and their key stakeholders. At In the Public Eye, we connect the dots between what your audience needs and what you, as an organization, have to offer. Is your business facing uncertainty because of changes in the marketplace? In the Public Eye can help. We build clear, customized communication plans to help you achieve your goals. Find out more by visiting inthepublic.ca or call us at 1-403-862-4374. We look forward to connecting the dots for you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Canadian Content. My name is Bernadette Geronazzo, and waiting in our virtual green room is our first guest, Mr. Barry Moore, Vice President of Product Development from Blackline Safety, one of Alberta's top 20 innovators. Blackline designs, develops, manufactures, and markets a series of technology innovations to share man down and potential help locations of worksite personnel, as well as connect with emergency services when necessary. Our guest today is the Vice President of Product Development, Mr. Barry Moore. Welcome to Canadian Content.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, Barry. I understand Blackline Safety is an end-to-end high-technology manufacturer. What can you tell us about your role and what this means at Blackline Safety?
My role as Vice President of Product Development is to manage the whole development process. So we have we develop hardware products, but also software products, and we develop a whole user experience around those products. Traditionally, industrial design has been rooted more in the hardware side of things, but as technology changes, the introduction of software products and products that focus more on a user experience than a physical item have changed the way that we work.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that user experience, Barry?
Sure. User experience involves really any time that we touch the customer or the customer touches our products. So it's not only when the individual might be handling the product, but it's the process of purchasing the product, unboxing the product, anytime they interface with a piece of software that communicates to the product. All of those pieces are part of the user interface. And then we also have a variety of different users. There might be a user that wears a physical product, and their use cases are quite different than the administrator that manages the product. So each one of those users requires a different user experience designed for them.
That's all very interesting. Maybe we can explore a little bit more about how BlackLine elected to evolve and focus on employee safety and this kind of user experience.
Sure. It really began with a single customer that had a problem that they couldn't solve with products that were already on the market. And they saw that the products that we had were close. We worked with them fairly closely to develop a solution for them, but we saw that they weren't the only ones that had this problem to solve. So there was many people with lone workers that needed to be monitored and give them the ability to respond appropriately if situations arose. So the offering evolved over time to include a whole monitoring service, including an application, mobile applications, a number of physical products that all work together in a single ecosystem to solve the end user's problems.
How interesting. Maybe tell our audience about one type of technology solution you and your team there at BlackLine Safety designed that was able to resolve a series of challenges.
Sure. We've been using location technology to identify where workers in distress are, and we've been a partner of Google's for quite a while, using their mapping system to identify the location of users. This works all very well for users that are working primarily outdoors, but once they go indoors, the GPS technology is a little bit harder to manage, and showing good, accurate locations indoors becomes more difficult. We developed hardware first around the solution to give more granular location ability for users in distress, and then we used some of once we had the ability to actually locate users indoors, we used some of Google's tools to provide even granular location information. So we were able to add floor plans to the maps, so that if a customer had a warehouse or a building that they wanted to monitor employees in, we could add those floor plans and they could identify exactly which room or what part of the building that employee was in.
Terrific. From your perspective, Mr. Moore, what is BlackLine Safety's competitive advantage?
It's definitely the breadth of our offering. There's others in the market that offer hardware or software or pieces of the puzzle. But because we develop our products right from the hardware through the firmware that runs on that hardware, the communication protocols that communicate back into our back-end services, and all the applications that run in our back-end services, as well as mobile apps, et cetera, we can solve the customer's problem at the right points in that chain and offer the right solutions. We can also tailor it very nicely to fit each of the types of users that the customer may have. Typically, a customer doesn't have just a single type of user that they need to protect. They'll have users that are doing different types of jobs and require different types of solutions.
I see. As you look at the near future, are there some goals you may be able to share with us?
Yeah, certainly. We're from the design standpoint, we're trying to expand what our internal definition of product development is to include more of those touch points with the customer so that we can focus more on the user experience. And again, that means that when we develop a product, that anytime that the user might interact with that product, whether it's with the physical product or with some process in the product, application that we've actually designed that process for them. So again, we're getting away from the design of a physical element and more to the design of a workflow, such that the user is always landing in a situation where somebody's thought through the problems that they have and can walk them through to a solution.
We understand the safety industry is looking for something even more proactive than an ability to respond to an emergency situation. What may Blackline Safety be planning as some next steps in product development to that end?
What we really want to be able to do is use feedback loops from our system to predict where problems may happen rather than just responding to them. Much of the data that we collect is provided to a monitoring service once an incident happens to give them context so that they can respond to the incident with the most information that they possibly can. But we also have that information. We also collect that data before the incident occurs. And what we want to do is look for patterns in that data prior to the incident so that we can identify when an incident is about to happen, and rather than just respond to the incident once it happens, actually avoid the incident altogether. So it's trying to push the safety further up the timeline so that we don't end up just responding to a user that has gotten into trouble.
I can imagine that industry partners will be very excited when that product comes to bear, because isn't it true that as safety managers everywhere, they're always looking for ways to be more proactive?
That's exactly right. And if we can show that we can actually reduce incidents, we know that they're getting good value for their dollar.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Mr. Moore, for spending some time actually explaining what's involved in terms of industrial design and product development. Before we leave one another, I wonder if you can give us a little bit of insight. How do some of these great ideas come about?
Oh, that's a good question. There, a lot of people believe that there's eureka moments for new products, and sometimes there is, but for the most part, products do evolve over time. And as we look to the future, we see a broad range of possibilities of where that the future might lead. And as we get closer to those timelines, the more obvious ones or the more accurate predictions that we've made start to come true because the technology can enable it, or we see the opportunities there, or customers have provided us feedback saying that that's the problems that they need to solve today. So it's I would say that those ideas really come from everywhere. They don't certainly all get generated within the product development group. Sometimes they're technology driven. Sometimes they are driven entirely from a customer, and sometimes the customer isn't even sure what they want until we're able to provide it to them. So that innovation can come from all directions.
Well, I want to thank you ever so much for sharing that insight with us today on Canadian Content. For listeners out there, if you would like more information, you can visit www.blacklinesafety.com. Thank you for your time, Mr. Moore.
And thanks very much for having me.
Canadian Content will be right back after this short commercial break. When we return, we will be talking with Mr. Robert Palmer from WestJet and learning about their great corporate culture.
Employees working alone are the most vulnerable. They face the risk of injuries, health incidents, and even physical assaults. How do you monitor your lone workers? A manual check-in process? A buddy system? Or not at all? There's a better method to monitor employees working out of sight and sound of others. safety monitoring technology from Blackline Safety detects incidents in real time and pinpoints responders to your employees' precise location. Visit blacklinesafety.com. We've got your back.
You're listening to Tenacious Living Radio.
Welcome back to the second half of Canadian Content. I'm your host, Bernadette Geronazzo. Our next guest is Mr. Robert Palmer, WestJet's Manager of Public Relations. WestJet is a national brand that began 19 years ago with 3 aircraft and 5 destinations. It has grown to become what we know of today as Canada's fun and friendly airline, with more than 100 aircraft, 100 destinations, and flying into 21 countries worldwide. In 2009, WestJet was inducted into Waterston's Hall of Fame for becoming one of Canada's most admired companies, and today has nearly 12,000 WestJetters working throughout North America. I have the pleasure of speaking with WestJet's Manager of Public Relations, Mr. Robert Palmer. Welcome to Canadian Content.
Hi, Bernadette. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
We're delighted you have the time to be here today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Lots going on at WestJet these days, aren't there?
It's a busy place, but you know something? It's a good kind of busy. Obviously, we're very fortunate to enjoy a great deal of loyalty and support from our guests, and that's something we never take for granted. So it's good to be busy, that's for sure.
That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about your guests and how you develop your corporate culture there at WestJet. I understand it's been 19 years now that you've been in business. What is it exactly that you do to maintain your status with your guests as Canada's most admired corporate cultures? Why not?
Well, I think corporate culture, and you've hit the nail on the head, I think that really is the key. Your corporate culture is perhaps the thing that you're identified by or with most. And in our case, our secret sauce, as we like to say, is our people. Our people is our strength is our people. And our corporate culture is very much reflected in who our people are and how they treat our guests. And so our corporate culture is a fun, friendly, and caring culture based on the notion of care, and care not just meaning a word, but more in our culture, an acronym standing for Create a Remarkable Experience. And so it's one of the things we really strive to do each and every day for our guests. And creating experiences, wonderful travel experiences, great guest experiences is our objective. And as I say, it's really sort of at the fundamental core of our corporate culture.
And it certainly comes through when people travel with you. You can see that your guests are feeling honored and respected and really tended to, even in the minute details. I wanted to ask you this question. As a public corporation here in Canada, WestJet, you lead with this idea of owner's care. So a number of your WestJetters, they're actually owners, are they not?
Yeah, you've really hit the nail on the head on that one as well, because that is one of the reasons that our people feel so invested in the company. Over 85% of WestJetters own shares in the company. And what that does, obviously, is put our people in a very unique position. They quite literally have a vested interest in the performance of our company. And that really makes for a rather unique platform. The owner's platform is really based on the notion that when you have skin in the game, so to speak, you obviously have much more interest in seeing it succeed. And our owners, our WestJetters, very much think of this company as their own. We are the single largest block of shareholders. It's based on the idea that the company has provided us with the opportunity to purchase shares, and that's the skin in the game that I referred to before.
Really?
We have a very, very generous share purchase program, one of the most generous in North America. In fact, you're able to devote up to 20% of your salary, and the company will match share for share every share you purchase.
That's amazing. Let's go a little bit beyond the shareholders and talk about how that corporate culture of kindness and caring extends into the community. Tell us a little bit about that and how you've delighted some people even beyond your guests and your shareholders, people that are with families in need. I've seen some of your videos that are really quite impressive. What can you tell us about how WestJet cares about the community?
Well, we firmly believe in giving back to the community, and we've done so as part of our operation essentially since inception in 1996. We believe in creating that remarkable experience that I mentioned for our guests, but not just for our guests, for others in what we call the WestJet world. So you're touching on some of the videos and the experiences that we've created. So what we would look at there would be, for example, the Christmas Miracle video. Certainly not the first one that we had ever done. In fact, if you go to WestJet's YouTube channel, you'll see that we have quite a long history of creating remarkable experiences for WestJet guests and others in WestJet's world. But I think the one that people probably know us most for or best would be the second or the first Christmas Miracle video in December of 2013. And that's the one where we shot a video. We created experiences and shot a video for folks who were in two boarding lounges and one arrivals area, the two boarding lounges being in Toronto and Hamilton and the arrival being in Calgary, where we asked people to tell a virtual Santa what they wanted for Christmas, and then obviously those gifts personalized, the exact gifts came down the carousel when those two flights landed in Calgary. And it's important that people appreciate that the video is fun for people to see, but it really was all about creating that remarkable experience for those guests who were on those flights. And then the video is an output or a conduit so that people who were not there and could not obviously not experience that firsthand would at least be able to share in the fun. So that was the miracle of Christmas, the spirit of giving, and really that's what that experience was all about.
It was quite a delightful video to experience, and I'm sure people were receiving the gifts were feeling elated that their Christmas wish had come true directly from Santa and WestJet. What a wonderful idea. Now you're heading into your 20th year, and the horizon appears quite bright for you. Tell us about the ways in which your company is going to be growing and the direction it's taking in these next few months.
Well, I mentioned off the top, it's a busy time here. That's for sure. We've got the next stage in our evolution, and that is the arrival of our very first of four Boeing 767s with 262 seats on them. That's considerably larger than our largest aircraft, which has 174, the Boeing 737-800 series. So that'll be our third fleet type, if you will. We have the vast majority of our planes, of course, as people know, are the 737s, and they've been with us as a fundamental piece of our business plan since our inception. But in addition to that, a couple of years ago, we started a regional airline called WestJet Encore that some people will be familiar with, of course, particularly if you live in a smaller Canadian community. And those utilize the Canadian-made Bombardier Q400. So the next step, as I mentioned, is the arrival of the first of four WestJet Boeing 767s, which will allow us to fly to Europe from various Canadian cities.
How wonderful for us. Isn't that great news? Well, Mr. Robert Palmer, that is really exciting.
It's very exciting for us. We've heard from people for many, many years. You know, they say, we would love to fly with you, but you don't fly to Europe. Well, a couple of years ago, we started service from the East Coast using our 737-700s, first from St. John's to Dublin, Ireland, and then this past spring, from Halifax, Nova Scotia, to Glasgow, Scotland. And so we do fly to Europe, but we don't fly from anywhere in Canada other than the East Coast, and that's a mission range issue, obviously. The 737s can fly quite a distance, but the range of them is obviously perfect for flying from the East Coast. They wouldn't make it obviously without refueling stop if we were to go from some place like, say, Toronto. So both of these flights to Glasgow and to to Ireland start in Toronto, but then they have refueling stops on the East Coast. So this the evolution of WestJet with the addition of the 767s will now allow us to fly from any Canadian city to Europe.
Well, that's marvelous. I want to thank you so much, Mr. Palmer, for spending a bit of time today sharing a little bit more about the insights behind WestJet's corporate culture and giving us an indication of what to look forward to. I'm going to wish you a wonderful day. Thank you for joining us on Canadian Content.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
WestJet and its involvement in the community. For those of you who haven't seen the YouTube videos, go now to www.youtube.com/WestJet. Let's summarize some key lessons learned from today's guests. Number one, treat your employees as if they too were guests or clients, and your company will reap rich rewards. Secondly, be constantly open to change and willing to adapt to what your customers are wanting right now. Flexibility is another key to success, and those who make changes will be the winners in this new and ever-demanding marketplace. We're coming up to the end of our program. If you have any questions or comments, we would be pleased to hear from you. I'm your host, Bernadette Giornazzo, inviting you to listen anytime as the recording will be hosted for this month at www.inthepublic.ca. Be sure to join us in November for some more business insights with our guests from British Columbia.
This program was sponsored by In the Public Eye. In the Public Eye is a public relations agency focused on assisting corporate leaders overcome current barriers and create success through communication strategies. We look forward to connecting with you next month. Thank you for listening. Should you have any questions, please visit www.inthepublic.ca.